drawing room over here.
All right, let's set the mood. Oh, mysterious. A stolen kiss, a hired hitman, money owed to the mob. It sounds like an Agatha Christie novel, but this is actually a true crime story from Melbourne's notorious red light district in 1910. It's about the demise of Ernest Gunter. It's a tale of misadventure and murderous intent. Now, I'm not telling you about a new book. I'm not telling you about a podcast or a documentary. It's more like Pokemon Go. You're going to be able to unravel this story of Ernest Gunter on your phone through augmented reality. I'm joined by historian Michael Shelford, along with Emma Ramsey and Andy Yong, game creators and co-founders of 10 Tickles. Welcome to the drawing room.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Hi, how are you going?
Okay, so the game is called True Crime Mysteries, Misadventure in Little Lon. Tell me about the story of Ernest Gunter. Michael, who was he and how did he die?
Well, Ernest Gunter was the brother of somebody called Maud Gunter. Maud Gunter, a very exceptional character as far as Melbourne history goes and Melbourne history as related to crime. Maud had been getting in trouble from a young age in the cook shops on Little Bourke Street, which the police actually said were not just Chinese cook shops but opium dens, right from the age of about 16. Ernest, her younger brother, had also been getting into quite a bit of trouble from a young age. At the age of 12, he went away on a Sunday school picnic day. They had races for the kids and prizes for the people who won the races. And Ernest won the race, and the prize he won was a penknife. And on the way back on the bus, he got upset with a 14-year-old boy and stabbed him repeatedly in the chest.
Wow.
Saying, "I wish to bathe in your blood."
So a rough kid.
He had a pretty rough childhood.
Was he from a rough family?
I suppose you could argue that. He continued getting into a bit of trouble with the law and eventually it was either leave town or end up spending some time in prison, and he ended up doing some shearing work out in country Victoria and New South Wales as well. And then he came back after 3 years of being a shearer with a big pocket full of money, was hanging around his old friends in the slums. They're all doing a little bit too much drinking, following him around with their hands out, asking for money. And that's the beginning of the story, really.
And just, I guess, tell us about the end of the story. How did he die?
He ended up dying in a street fight. So he was in the old Little Lon area of Melbourne. So that was Melbourne's old inner city slum district, its old inner city red light district, a place where quite a few criminals used to frequent as well. They had a quite extended drinking session. Things got quite emotional. He got into a street fight with somebody called John Evans, who was an old friend of Squizzy Taylor's, an old member of Squizzy Taylor's original gang, the Bourke Street Rats. He got punched, fell over, hit his head on the pavement, and died from the injuries.
Okay, so we're about to find out why the other two guests here today have made an augmented reality game about this guy. Why is his story important? Because he just sounds like a violent rat bag.
It's important because of the questions around whether or not the coroner came up with the right findings at the end of the coroner's case. So you probably noticed that the game mentions death by misadventure in the title. That was the finding. So a whole lot of witnesses went forward in the coroner's court and stated that Ernest Gunter had been carrying a knife in each hand, that he approached John Evans with murderous intent, and that that John Evans just threw a punch to save his own life, that it was terribly tragic, that he didn't mean to actually intentionally harm him, let alone kill him. But then you've also got witnesses from the other side that cast doubt onto whether or not he was carrying a knife in the first place and whether or not he was actually blindsided with what we might call today a coward punch by John Evans after he ran out of a hotel and hit him from the side. So
is it a story of injustice?
Possible injustice. I don't think that the game actually makes a decision on what exactly happened, But I think there's a little bit of injustice in the fact that I don't think that they looked into the characters deeply enough. Because when I was doing research on the characters, I found out that they're actually using aliases and that they're actually members of the same youth gang as the person who'd actually thrown the punch.
Wow. What a murky, messy scene. All the more tricky to, I guess, decipher 110 years later almost. It's a really interesting tale. It's kind of one you'd normally expect to read in a book or maybe see in a documentary. But Andy and Emma, you've decided to make this an augmented reality game. For people that don't know what augmented reality is, what is it? Because for me, I just think of Pokemon Go.
Yeah, Pokemon Go is definitely one that everyone sort of knows as that's an AR game. We decided to use AR more, I guess, in a more forefront. So we bring in these characters 110 years down the track. We bring them back to life, so to speak, and we get to interact with them.
Okay, but take me back. So
yes.
You've got people listening of all ages.
Sure.
People that maybe have only just taken up smartphones in the last few years, you know, older Australians listening and trying to work out what the hell you're talking about. How do you play augmented reality games?
So augmented reality, it uses the camera on your phone. So in the case of our game, you go, if you're in Melbourne, you go to the actual locations where the event happened.
Right.
So
and looking into your phone, potentially getting run over and all that kind of thing that happened with Pokemon Go.
Yeah, so we've intentionally chosen specific locations. So the actual crime happened at the Exploration Hotel. That laneway is a through road. So we've chosen the next laneway across, which isn't a through road. So we've sort of considered that safety factor and making sure that you have a wide enough radius to place the scene in.
Great. Safe. Good.
Likewise, if there's any construction, which there is a lot of construction on almost every building in Melbourne has scaffolding on it at the moment. So if you need to find an unobstructed location, you can. You look through your phone at the actual building and it overlays the character that you would have met there at that time.
Okay, so you're seeing the real hotel in real life through your phone's camera and then these cartoon-looking characters are coming into that reality?
That's right, but they're not really cartoon characters. They look quite realistic. They're modelled off the actual photos of the actual characters. Maud Gunter, the sister of Ernest Gunter, she was an incredible woman. And Jenny Sams, the granddaughter, is living in Melbourne now. So she's shown us quite a lot of photos. And when we first showed her the 3D model of Maud, she said, she's not quite big enough. She was a bigger woman. And Maud really gets under your skin, and Jenny in particular, she really has a connection with her. And she also said to us, would you mind just making a model of Maud to pop on my couch so I can ask her for advice when I need it in my life?
With Pokemon Go or with the Harry Potter game that came out recently, they're obviously talking about these fictional places, but the beauty of your app is you're talking about real places in Melbourne. Was that part of the excitement for you guys?
Absolutely. One of the locations, it's now Coors Lane, used to be Brogan's Lane, and there was a wine bar there, the Britannia, that was just a very seedy place to be. It's a very narrow laneway, so you can see what the dangers were for people coming out of the wine bar. And when you're there placing the scene, meeting John Evans, it's quite a visceral sort of tingles down the spine type feeling.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at the city in a different way, hopefully. You know, at the moment, it's quite dominated by steel and glass. But when we go into the laneways, we get to see, like I think Michael showed us for the first time, was Little Lon, the Casadun place. The only, what's the...
It's the only single-storey cottage remaining in Melbourne.
Right, okay. And for you guys, I mean, we just heard the story from Michael about what actually happened to Gunter. Why did you want to make this story into an augmented reality game? There's lots of other stories you could have chosen from fiction or from real life in Melbourne, lots of underworld figures. What got you going about this one?
So when we knew that we wanted to make the game, we went and did Michael's tour. He runs the Melbourne Historical Crime Tours. Right. He spoke about Maud Gunter and that she could do the things that stood out in my mind. She could do flying roundhouse kicks. She was arrested for hat-pinning an officer. She was a very tough, formidable woman in Little Lon, but her story is sort of yet to be told outside of Michael's tours. She went on to become a very wealthy, powerful and influential figure in Little Lon, and sort of the what she did after her brother was finished is quite shocking, and it's just an incredible story. I can't quite believe that it hasn't been fully expressed before either.
Is it just really about the drama of this whole family and the craziness of their lives? Is that what got you guys?
I think what really stood out to me was that it was obvious that the family felt an injustice had been done, and they actually plotted the demise of John Evans, the person who threw the punch. So it was something that which became known as the deathbed hoax. Mm-hmm. And a mutual friend was sent into the Little Lon district to John Evans's house to lure him out to the house of Maud Gunter, where Ernest Gunter had been living prior to his demise, and the house of Ernest's mother, Jane. And the story was, am I giving too much of the game away?
You're giving a lot of the game away then.
I'm really on the edge of my seat now. Now I'm getting it. Because before when you were talking, I was like, okay, so the dude got murdered, whatever, 110 years ago. But this is a tale of revenge.
A little bit.
It is.
Yes.
I mean, the injustice side of it got us as well. Because Michael, you gave us like a big, thick pages of the coroner's report.
Yeah.
And we read through that and, you know, we were like, oh, it's a closed, you know, open and shut case. But then when we dug in deeper and we find out, hang on, this person is lying, obviously, because he did it. He just got let out of jail because of lying. And we were like, hang on, all this doesn't seem to add up, you know,
yeah,
to the coroner's report. So we were like, this is really interesting stuff. You know, we're digging deeper into.
And John Evans himself was what they used to call a jury rigger or jury squarer. So he used to actually try and influence the outcome of court proceedings by approaching witnesses, paying them off, threatening them. Even on one occasion, he was actually sentenced to prison for spiriting away a witness. So he had the witness on a train. And they were like well out of Melbourne before the police made their arrest.
All right, this is starting to get really juicy now. We're really delving into Melbourne's underworld. It's both a history lesson, but we're also learning about new technology, augmented reality. It's amazing. You're listening to RN. My name's Tom Tilley, and my guests today in the drawing room are historian Michael Shelford. You're hearing Emma Ramsey and Andy Yong from 10 Tickles Animation and Design. It's Melbourne International Games Week. It kicks off on Saturday, and these guys have created an augmented reality true crime game set in Melbourne's laneways, I guess set in 1910, but also right now as well. That's the whole point with augmented reality. It's called True Crime Mysteries, Misadventure in Little Lon. So we heard a lot about the backstory. What actually happens in the game? We're going up and meeting these characters, but what's the end point? How do you clock this game?
So the game, as Michael said, like there was a lot of different sides of the story. So as you go around to 12 different locations in Melbourne, you hear the different witnesses' testimonies and you start to piece it together. When it gets sort of to the end of the game, then you're given, do you believe that Ernest had knives or do you believe that he was blindsided? And you get to actually select which version you believe. Throughout the game, there's actual newspaper articles, and the way that this whole case was written up was quite fabulous, really. And so depending on whose side of the story you believe, you see the real newspaper article from that version of events.
Okay, this sounds like really just a fascinating history lesson. Is that kind of part of it? I mean, it is often hard to engage particularly young people in history. Michael, do you see augmented reality as a great way to be able to do that?
Absolutely.
And for you guys, is that part of the motivation as well to engage people through this technology in history?
Absolutely. And it's a lot of fun as well. So we've certainly learnt heaps making the game about the buildings that are around in Melbourne, the characters that used to live there, you know, how they had to be tough to survive. Maud Gunter was really quite an inspirational woman in her, you know, business-mindedness and her tenacity and toughness. So to sort of bring to light those colourful, vibrant, complex characters is really what we're trying to do with the game.
How big is augmented reality in the overall gaming industry right now?
Oh, it's fledgling at the moment, mainly because I think technology is catching up. So the more phones these days and the more people getting newer phones with AR capability and more stable AR, we'll be able to, and, you know, it's just like everything. We in the 80s, we used to carry around a brick, you know, to talk on to other people around the world. Now we're just supercomputers on our phones.
Yeah, but I'm maybe a little bit skeptical because when Pokemon Go first came out, there were like somewhere near around a billion downloads. It was huge. Mm-hmm. And we thought, oh, this is the start of something. And then it seemed to drop off.
Sort of. I mean, I still know lots of Pokemon Go players. They're diehards and they're swapping coins with people around the world. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It looked like it was like there were like zombies walking around on their phones everywhere and there were stories of people running into cars and it's like, oh, wow, are we all going to be engaged in this all the time? And I just wondered, how big do you think it's going to be? How popular is augmented reality going to be in people's sort of, I guess, you know, daily or weekly lives?
I'm guessing that's got to do with content. Like the better content that we have, we're not going to worry about the technology. We're going to, you know, embrace the stories. We're going to embrace, you know, the content.
Apparently there's an AR app that's used to train firefighters. So to have AR used in other contexts is quite amazing. Mm. And whilst Pokemon Go is a lot of fun, I feel that the way that we're using augmented reality in this game just brings another layer of complexity to it. And to be able to go to the actual locations, you can play this game from anywhere, but if you're in Melbourne, to go to the actual locations to experience a really immersive meeting with a character there, it just really adds another layer.
Yeah, I think if you're learning about real history, it adds a higher purpose to what you guys are doing.
Absolutely, and it's fun too. Like Michael just had a go of the scene where you're pouring drinks for Maud Gunter and her hired hitman, and you know, you have to pour them a glass of red wine and then eavesdrop on their conversation where they're planning the deathbed hoax. And, you know, so it's
I'm in.
It's fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, sounds fascinating, but it is time to Pokemon Go. Sorry, everyone, for that one. Michael, Emma, Andy, great to speak to you. Congratulations on the game. Sounds really interesting. Thank you for joining us on The Drawing Room.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Michael Shelford is a historian. Emma Ramsey and Andy Yong are the game creators and co-founders of 10 Tickles, the studio behind that new game, True Crime Mysteries, Misadventure in Little Lon. You can get it on your phone via the App Store or Google Play from October 6, which is this Sunday. And check out gamesweek.melbourne for more info.